The following podcast is a work of fiction. All characters are the creation of Peter Williams. Any resemblance to someone living or dead is purely coincidental. Thank you.
Last week, we left our detectives as they were about to meet Casey. She desperately wants to speak with our friend, Detective Stevens. But first, it seems we need to address the elephant in the room. Devin Winters, as he flees the woods and heads home, figuring it might be safe. For certainly no one would think of looking for him there, right? So click your heels together and repeat after me. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. But before we begin, let me remind you that this podcast does contain images of graphic violence, child endangerment, and of course, my favorite, foul language. So good to have that back. Now, let's light those candles, dim the lights, and get some good, buttery, heart-stopping popcorn for Chapter 5, The Death of Devin Winters.
Devin made his way away from the bluff and avoided any of the trails he had been using. Instead, this time he'd take a more direct route, the same rocky stream he had traversed to avoid the police and dogs that first night. It flowed down into the woods from his house and eventually emptied into the Copperhead River. The rocks were murder on his feet, for like the first night he escaped, he hadn't any shoes. Perhaps he should be grateful, he thought. The numbing had helped ease the pain of the rocks biting into his feet. If only he could have returned to his encampment. He had found shoes and clothes that were a close match to him, but those two little squealers. He'd need to pay them a visit later on. Yes, a little visit. Perhaps on Christmas Eve. Santa Devin could bring them something very nice. Now looking skyward, and how the sun was fading as the deep blues and purple spread across the horizon. He knew night was coming fast, and he didn't want to try his luck at making this journey in the dark. Finally, after what seemed like hours, he reached a hill near his home and climbed back up and out of the woods. He should be safe here, he thought. He was far enough upstream that the dog shouldn't pick up a scent. The mansion silhouette gave off a creepy vibe against the trees and whatever city lights illuminated the horizon. He could barely see the press boards covering the window he had jumped through or the couple police officers now patrolling the grounds. He studied the officers carefully, getting down their patterns. From what he could tell, they stuck mainly to the main drive and front door, paying little heed to the woods. From here, he knew he could slip past them and use the storm cellar door. He limped across the frozen grass. His feet were swollen and bloody. He wondered what color they had turned between the hypothermia and the deep gashes. Pushing back some brush he had used to try to hide the storm entrance, he went to grab the handle and found it had been padlocked. Fuck! Now he would have to pass the officers on patrol. Crawling back up to where he could see them, he paused and smiled. Something or someone had drawn them away. Devin wondered what, but decided it wasn't worth his concern. This was his best chance. He could use it to sneak in. He moved forward in a hurry, catching himself on some thorns, biting down on his lip just to keep from calling out. When did they grow here? He had kept the place immaculate. No weeds, no thorns, but this brush clearly had spread across the base of the house. And more of it seemed to have sprouted along the walkway and wrapped themselves around the two columns that adorned the massive four-door entrance. While he thought it was strange, he had no time to concern himself with his home's current exterior. Ducking under the yellow Do Not Enter tape and sliding through the far-left front door, he was officially home. It had seemed to age unnaturally somehow. The walls were cracked and the paint faded. The floors looked worn. Any polish or gleam, long gone. The scent of must and dirt filled his nostrils. How could this be, he wondered. passing his hand through some cobwebs that clung to the hurricane lantern sitting on top of the bookcase that wrapped around the main stairwell. How? How could this have happened so fast? He placed his foot on the first step, and a cold chill came over his entire body. Feeling a presence, he turned around. "Hello, dear," the guest said, making Devin freeze to the spot. It was Grace. She was dead. He had killed her. How? How could... Grace! Honey! He stuttered as he opened his arms wide to her. Maybe she doesn't remember. Maybe I can trick. But the ambient light caught the apparition. It floated over the floor. He watched as Grace brought her hand to her swollen face, to the gash where he had hit her. It was filled with squirming maggots. Her left eye was hanging on her cheek. "What's the matter, honey?" Grace asked.
Nothing. You look stunning," he lied.
"Oh, you think so?" Grace said with a smile, as her black tongue flopped out of her mouth. "Then, how about a kiss? For old time's sake." He swallowed hard and cocked his head to kiss her putrid lips. As he went to do so, one swelled and popped, covering his face with a gelatinous goo that smelled as wretched as she looked. He fell back, gagging.
"Oh, please, Devin," she mocked. "You're so full of shit."
"Why? Why are you here?" Devin asked, no longer able to keep up the charade.
"I killed you. I know I did. Yes, and I must say that like with everything else, you did a sloppy job."
Grace grinned at him maniacally, but held out her hand as if she was offering to help him back up. He reached for it as she said in a sweet, melodic tone,
"But I forgive you, Devin."
Her breast slipped from the long black dress she had donned, and he couldn't help but notice her shape, even in this state of decay. It looked tasty.
"Come on, nuzzle me like you used to."
There was something hypnotic about her, about her breast. He wanted so bad to touch them, to kiss them. He started to move forward until he could bury his face between them.
"Oh, so tender, so soft, I must admit."
He heard the sound of something dragging, like metal on the floor. A sharp pain exploded through his back, and something wet began to spread across it. Grace pushed him away, her fingers now more like claws, covered in a deep red crimson. Then he realized what the sound was. In her free hand was the fire poker, the very one he had used to kill her with. She swung it, hitting his legs with a wallop, forcing him to his knees. He fell back onto the cold wood, clutching at the open wound like a bug looking for its torn wings. Grace licked her fingers clean.
"Oh, Devin, you don't know how happy you've made me."
"Made us," Grace said.
"Us?"
he gasped, barely able to breathe or speak. Lindsay emerged from the shadows.
"Hi, Papa."
She floated too, her internal organs hanging like the train of a wedding dress.
"Lindsay?" "Yes, Papa."
He rolled over and began to get back to his knees.
"They say you're ready now, Papa," Lindsay said.
"They?" Several shadows came forth from the walls and surrounded him.
"He's ready. Ripe and ready."
They laughed and whispered. They dug into his flesh and started dragging him to the spot where he sacrificed Lindsay.
"Wait, no, I'm not."
"Not what?"
Another voice floated in as a shadowy figure took shape between the two guests that followed.
Cassandra?
"Yes, Devin."
She strolled into the living room with a godlike presence.
I thought you promised me,"
he choked out. The shadows paused, allowing Cassandra to approach the crippled man.
"Oh, I did,"
Cassandra sneered.
"And I would never break a promise."
With that, the shadows again started to pull him. Devin started clawing at the floor, but it was no use as they continued to pull him from the foyer and into the living room.
"No,
No, no, I was supposed to become. I was supposed to have power, life, anything, anyone I wanted.
He grabbed the edge of the fireplace, hoping to stop them.
That's no good, Daddy.
Lindsay smiled as Grace passed her the poker.
You wouldn't want your sacrifice to go to waste now, would you?
Lindsay took the poker and swung it onto his right hand, his wrist snapping under the blow. Devin let out a scream and grabbed his wounded arm. The shadows began to drag him more ferociously. Grace and Lindsay watched him go. Once again, small red candles burned on the floor. Dark, evil etchings cut into it with a knife.
Don't worry, Daddy, Lindsay called out. They'll be gentle, like you were with me.
Claws began to grab at the remnants of clothing he wore, shredding them, ripping them into only his cold flesh remained against the cold, hard floor. Then they pinned him to the floor, in the center of the candles. Grace joined Lindsay as they watched Cassandra disrobe and now stand over him. Something slithered out from between her legs and down her thighs. It hit the floor with a squelch and a squeal as it crawled its way over his crotch and onto his stomach.
What? What is that?
Devin cried out in a panic.
You wanted to be like me? To be one of us?
Cassandra noted.
Not like this! Not like this! I...
Cassandra interrupted.
I? It's too late to make any complaints, Devin. We honestly never needed Lindsay, Grace, or poor little Casey. It was really all about you, Devin.
The thing pierced his belly button, and Devin let out a scream. A tendril shot off and down his throat, making him gag as his eyes rolled into his head. Unable to breathe or move, it continued to gestate something into him, pumping away the same way it pumped away at Lindsay. The same way he had pumped away with Casey as well. It burned with an acrid smell and taste. He wanted to move, to pull it off him, to stop this, and then, as if it was never there, it was gone. He rolled over, gagging, coughing, and spitting out what he could from his mouth as he tried to vomit this foul gestation. Then, pain. Searing, unmerciful pain. He grabbed at his stomach. Pussy green fluid smeared onto his hand.
Oh, God!
No, 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 Devin. Not God. The word or Aldone. No, Devin.
Cassandra mocked.
No, you are to become a host. That body will allow my son to be reborn. Iglachos, come forth!
With that, Devin's body seemed to turn itself inside out. Devin screamed as his flesh twisted and pulled like human taffy. Becoming black and putrid, sickly-looking eyes opened and closed on his skin as wings ripped through his shoulder blades, sharp and leathery. The only remaining shred of his humanity, his face, gazed out at his wife and daughter. As the skin pulled back off of it, he mouthed, "Help me," at them, as a strange, tape-like skin emerged, wrapping his face until nothing remained but two sullen eyes. With that, the shadows, along with the newly reborn demon, retreated once more into the darkness. There they would sit, there they would wait, and there they would grow hungry. Ever so hungry. With only one unrelenting thought on their minds. Would he come back? The murderer of the lost. Only time would tell. And time was something they had plenty of. Casey sat and looked at the two detectives as they entered her detainment room. She was wrapped in a straitjacket, rocking back and forth. Is that really necessary? Warren asked the doctor. Unfortunately, she replied. The last time we let her free, she started digging into her privates as if she was trying to tear them out.
Jeez,
Jay replied. the guard who stood monitoring them, injected.
"You think that's bad?" he said. "Last night, she was using her whole body like a battering ram, screaming, 'Make it stop! You must make it stop!'"
"That's when she curled up into a ball and started begging for you, Detective." But her eyes weren't on Warren. They were on Jay.
"You."
"Me?" He stepped back, confused by the girl's rage at him.
"Stay out! Don't go in! Don't go in!"
she raged at him.
"What is she talking about?"
he asked the doctor, who shrugged her shoulders and tried to inquire further, but she was only met with more screaming.
"Casey? Stay out! Don't go in! Don't go in!"
"Casey," Warren spoke to the girl, and she almost immediately relaxed.
"What the?"
the doctor asked, looking at Jay. It was his turn to shrug his shoulders.
Detective?
Casey was crying, almost meek. "Yes, Casey, it's me," he responded.
"I'm so sorry, Detective. I'm so sorry."
"Why? What are you sorry about?"
"Your pain. Your pain. We didn't know. We tried to."
"Who? What loss? What pain? What are you talking about, Casey?" Casey slipped into a slumber, leaving them to look at each other.
"Do you think she's trying to warn us?"
Jay asked.
"I don't know," Warren responded. "If she is, we're still left with a lot of questions."
Jay nodded.
"Yeah, like stay out. Stay out of where?"
"And me," Warren added.
"My loss?
Who?"
"Detectives," the doctor said. "Why worry over it? She's obviously over-traumatized and probably has no clue what she's saying." The men accepted that answer, not knowing how wrong the doctor truly was.
"Yes, yes, that's the thing about detective stories and mysteries in general. You tend to have more questions than answers. Like, who, what, where, why? It's like pondering which is which. For now, all these answers, all these roads, seem to lead to one place. The home of the Winter Residence. Where Devin, now a demon reborn, awaits in the darkness. At least we know one thing. There's no place like home for the holidays." Love that song. So tune in next week as we turn the page away from Devin and to Chapter 6. The Trail Goes Cold.